Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. It's Vicky here, the love and dating coach of the Project Love duo, and I am so excited for today's episode. It's a Q&A episode where I'm going to be answering your questions on all things love, dating and relationships. Lots of your questions, thank you for sending those in. Lots of them were about attachment theory, which is brilliant as it's my favourite topic to talk about. And so I thought I would start us off with a bit of a whistle-stop tour of attachment theory to talk about what it is, really, to lay the foundation to this conversation. And then we can get onto the questions. So attachment theory is one of the most, if not the most, researched theories in the world of relationship psychology. And it's such a fascinating topic to learn about because the way that we date, the way that we love, and the way that we show up in our relationships is largely determined by our style of attachment. And attachment theory describes four types of relationship patterns: secure, anxious, avoidant, and a combination of both the anxious and avoidant. 50% of people are secure types, 20% of people are anxious types, 25% are avoidant types, and the remaining 3 to 5% of people are a combination of both the anxious and avoidant types. So generally speaking, people with a secure attachment style feel comfortable with intimacy and closeness in their relationships. They don't obsess about their relationships. They are comfortable with commitment and they tend to get into relationships with relative ease. People with an avoidant attachment style fear intimacy and closeness in relationships, and they tend to value their independence and freedom more than the relationship. They don't tend to worry about their partner's feelings towards them, and they tend to be afraid of commitment. The anxious attachment type tends to feel insecure in love, and they crave intimacy and closeness and commitment in their relationships. They tend to have insecurities about where a relationship is going and how their partner feels about them. And they can get preoccupied with their relationships, which can cause them to lose their sense of self in there. And I know that pattern very well. This was always my pattern, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later in the episode. It's quite common for anxious attachers to date and be in relationships with avoidant attachers, which can result in a cycle of pursuing and withdrawing, which is basically when one partner wants more closeness and connection than what the other partner is comfortable with. So as the anxious partner gets closer, the avoidant partner pulls away, which makes the anxious partner want to get even closer, which has the avoidant partner pulling away even more. So within this cycle, they both behave in ways that exacerbate their fears. And that actually brings us on to our first question, which is, is it possible for an anxious and an avoidant person to develop a secure and loving relationship? And the answer is yes, it is possible. Research shows that attachment styles are stable but also plastic, and so change is possible. What is required to work towards a greater sense of security is the willingness to look at your relationship patterns through a lens of empathy, compassion, and acceptance, and a commitment to work through your challenges together as a team. It can be helpful to know that both of these insecure styles are afraid of rejection and abandonment. However, they have different ways of showing it, and they have different ways of managing their fears in order to feel safe. So in knowing that you're both scared, you might be able to see each other in a compassionate light and to create closeness in a way that feels safe for both of you and in a way that honours your differences. It is the negative cycle that is causing the tension, and so your common enemy is the pattern itself, not each other. And I believe that if you are curious to learn about each other, to grow together, and to work through your challenges together as a team, then it can be incredibly healing. It can be an incredibly healing journey to go on. I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be incredibly fulfilling to grow together in this way. And if you need help and support, then give yourselves the gift of a relationship coach or a couples therapist to support you on that journey. And this brings us on to our next question, which is, how do you deal with an avoidantly attached partner who isn't always sure that they want to repair their attachment issues? So this person went on to say that her and her partner have been in couples therapy for 5 months, but that she feels they're running up against quite a bit of resistance because of his fears of being attached and his worries about merging. So firstly, I honour your commitment to invest in your relationship with couples therapy. While I'm not a therapist, I know that journeys of change can take time. When you're creating new ways of relating to each other, you're creating new habits and new behaviours, and you're likely changing habits of a lifetime. And so it can take time to change them. I think the trick is to find a way for closeness to feel safe in your relationship, in a way that feels safe for both of you. So when your partner is stuck in a place of resistance, ask them what they need and how you can best support them. See if you can find a way for that closeness to feel safe in your relationship, and check in with them. Check in with them regularly and check in with you too. What do you need to feel safe and loved, and how can your partner best support you? So I'll give you an example of this. So let's say that your partner feels overwhelmed after a couples therapy session. They might need some quiet time and time alone after the session to process what's been said. This could be a way for them to feel safe, but if they don't tell you that, you could easily interpret that as rejection or abandonment, especially if you like to process what's been said by talking it through in the moment, and maybe that's how you feel safe. So a compromise would be to find a way where you can be close, but in a way where you both feel safe. So it could be deciding that your partner has quiet time after the session, but that you agree to talk about it together over breakfast the next day. So in that example, a compromise has been reached in a way that honours your differences and honours the different ways that you feel safe. And so explore what that could look like for you and see if you can find a way to be close in a way that doesn't have your partner shutting down or withdrawing, and in a way where you don't feel rejected or abandoned. It could also be worthwhile to keep a journal of your progress as a couple and celebrate the small wins on your couple's therapy journey. So every new insight about each other, the clarity, the moments of effective communication, affection, celebrate all of those, the small wins and the big wins, and celebrate them together as a team, and focus on all of the ways that you're growing together and moving forward inch by inch. So our next question is from someone with an anxious attachment type, and her question is, how do I start calling in a securely attached partner rather than the avoidant ones that I usually find myself drawn to? So first of all, I would recommend that you do a bit of a love inventory. So this is actually something that I do with clients in my love coaching sessions. And the idea with this is that you explore your tendency to be drawn to avoidant partners. Ask yourself, what is this all about for you? Get really honest about this. So I'll give you an example from my own love life to bring this to life. So as a fellow anxious attacher, I had a pattern of dating unavailable people with an avoidant attachment style. And what that was all about for me was a hidden fear of intimacy. And this fear had me unconsciously choosing to be in relationships with unavailable people. It was a way of avoiding the discomfort of vulnerability and emotional intimacy. And that insight totally shocked me, as it was an unconscious fear. So I wasn't conscious of it at the time. It's only when looking back that I could see that that fear was driving that pattern of behaviour. And this is a really common fear that can have us being drawn to the avoidant ones. And for many of my clients, it's a fear of getting hurt again. And it's a fear that has them going for unavailable people with an avoidant attachment style. And the reason why is that it can often feel safer to date the unavailable ones or be attracted or drawn to the avoidant ones, because we unconsciously know that their limited capacity for a committed and intimate relationship means that we risk ourselves less. As a practitioner of neurolinguistic programming, I am always interested in the positive intention behind an unwanted pattern of behavior. This is actually one of the foundational principles of NLP, that behind every behavior is a positive intention. And so assume that there is a positive intention behind your tendency to be drawn to the avoidant ones. It could be a hidden fear of intimacy, a fear of losing yourself, a fear of getting hurt. Explore this in a journal. This kind of self-awareness is often the first step to changing the pattern. I would also recommend studying attachment theory. So read books like Attached by Dr. Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. I'll link to this in the show notes. Study the secure type and get to know the tendencies and dating behaviors that are typical with this style. This can give you clarity on the people who are available for a committed relationship. As an anxious attacher, I would imagine that feeling safe and reassured is important to you. And so keep a journal as you're dating and be mindful of what you notice with the people that you're connecting with. And also notice how you feel on dates. Feeling safe around someone is a big green flag. Get to know those green flags and the red flags and be discerning about who you invite into your big, beautiful heart. And lastly, be willing to believe that you are worthy of a committed relationship with somebody who is available, kind and loving. Our next question is also from someone with an anxious attachment style. She's been dating a guy for 7 months. They are exclusive, but he said he's not ready to call her his girlfriend yet. And she's trying to figure out whether this feels okay or whether this is a red flag. So red flags can give you clues about someone's capacity for commitment, but not the whole picture. And so it's useful to be mindful of these red flags in the context of the person, so in the context of your partner. So you mentioned that you see each other twice a week, you get on really well, he's usually reliable and sweet, and this is the longest relationship that you've both had. And so if we think about the context here, there is lots of good stuff here. I would recommend that you explore some of these pointers or questions that I'm about to say in a journal. Okay, so when you look at the last 7 months of your relationship, has there been a sense of momentum? Have you seen the relationship progressing step by step or inch by inch? And when you felt close to them, has this closeness created more closeness? Or has this closeness created distance? What feelings or emotions come up for you around him not being ready to call you his girlfriend? What stories are you telling yourself around this? And are those stories 100% true? Ask yourself what you need to feel safe right now. Is it having some reassurance from him about your future as a couple? When you're clear on this, open up a dialogue with him and share how you feel and share your need for reassurance. Think about what would help you to feel reassured. So it could be something like booking a date in the diary for you both to catch up on this issue at a later date so that you know it's not been forgotten, so that you know there is a time in the future where you're going to talk about this again. See if you can be curious about his resistance and what this is really about for him. And ask questions to get to a place of understanding so you can see it from his point of view. And see if you can keep the channel of communication open so that you keep checking in with each other and that you keep talking about this. And lastly, practice compassion for yourself and for him. It could be that you're both scared about the same things, but you have different ways of showing it. So be curious about that. So our next question is someone who met a lovely guy in September and they are moving in together in March. She says, I've been on my own for many years and it feels so right him moving in, but how will I have me time? We've not met each other's friends or families, so it's very strange. What are your tips for starting the next chapter of our lives in lockdown? So first of all, I would say that your fears are totally natural. I think this is a very common fear when you're moving in with someone, especially if you've been on your own for so many years, as you say. So that fear is totally natural and valid. And when you add a global pandemic and lockdown, then it adds a whole other layer And yeah, I totally get it that it is strange when you can't meet each other's friends and families in the usual way. See if you can get creative about ways that you can connect with friends and family during lockdown and in a way that feels fun for both of you. So I know that Zooms, the group Zooms and things like that can get tiring, but within the restrictions, it could be fun to arrange something like an online pub quiz or something like that to stay connected and in a way that will have you getting to know each other's friends and family. So see if you can brainstorm more ideas like this and brainstorm them together as a couple. And in terms of your new chapter, why not set an intention together as a couple for your new chapter? Think about what you'd love to experience both individually and as a couple and use that to set your intention for your next chapter. So you could decide that you want to experience fun and connection in this new chapter. And so then think about all of the ways that you can experience that both individually and as a couple. And then think about what would me time look like in this new chapter? What does me time for you look like? What does me time for them look like? And what does we time look like as well? And encourage each other to prioritize that me time so that you're both able to have some time alone and do things that are outside of your couple relationship, as well as the time that you spend together. So our next question, and this is actually the last question in the episode, this is all about setting relationship boundaries. So the person that asked this question says she's been in a relationship for 6 months and struggles to find the balance between knowing what she needs and what her partner needs. She goes on to say that she has a tendency to babysit her partner when he has bad days and low moods. And she says, I've lost interest in my regular yoga and meditation practice, but forcing myself back into it. I know I neglect some things like diet and exercise, me time, as he is constantly on my mind. I find it difficult to concentrate on other things like myself, work and my spirituality, etc. I don't want to get to a point where I resent him or the relationship. So first of all, I recognize myself in some of what you've described. I had a tendency to lose myself in all of my past relationships. I never did anything for myself. My entire world revolved around my partner. And I used to people please and sacrifice my sense of self in those relationships. And I did all of this because I wanted to get closer to my partner. So merging with my partner was an unconscious strategy that I used to keep my partner close to me. But it had me feeling really insecure in myself and quite miserable on reflection, now looking back. And what really helped me is actually seeing my pattern through the lens of attachment theory. So it sounds like you have anxious attachment tendencies and that what you really want is to be close to your partner because you're likely feeling neglected when he has bad days. And I would recommend studying attachment theory and getting to a place of understanding about your own tendencies. I think that can make the world of difference, just really understanding where these tendencies come from and what they're really about for you. So when he is having those bad days or low moods that you've described, it may feel like he's left you. And so it does create that feeling of neglect. And my advice to you would be, in those moments when you're feeling neglected, make a commitment to love yourself instead of neglect yourself. Self-neglect is just as painful, or if not more painful. So don't leave yourself behind in those moments when you need your own love and care and attention the most. I would recommend watching the TED Talk with Tracy McMillan on why you need to marry yourself, which I'll include a link to in the show notes. And then, to quote the poet Rudy Francisco, I would recommend that you love yourself so fiercely that when others see you, they know exactly how it should be done. And I think that is such a beautiful note to wrap up this episode. I have loved answering your questions so, so much. Thank you for sending them in. If you'd like to hear me talk more on topics like this, then I send out a weekly Sunday love letter on all things love, dating and relationships. I started these love letters a few weeks ago and I am in love with them so, so much. I talk about attachment theory, how to spot the red flags of relationship availability, why we struggle with vulnerability and so much more. Each love letter is designed to soothe, support, comfort, and inspire you, and they are sent each and every Sunday. If you'd like to receive a love letter from me each week, then head to vickipavitt.com/Sunday love, and I'll also link to this in the show notes. You'll find all of the details to sign up, and you can grab my free dating audio there too. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it for you. Thank you so much for listening. So much love.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.